Super excited to be welcoming on next Colin Long, Director of Legislative Affairs at OIDA, joining us out of D.C. And Colin, pleasure to have you on. A lot of stuff going on with the FMCSA. One of the big things was a recent talking about AEB speed limiters as well for hearings. Catch us up for those of us just joining or haven't happened to be keeping up with what's going on in that space, potential rulemaking, perhaps.
Yeah, the big news was yesterday there was a hearing at the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure's Subcommittee on Highways and Transit, which is, you hear subcommittee, but it's one of the largest subcommittees in Congress, so it's almost the size of a regular committee. The hearing featured different administrators of modes under the Highways and Transit jurisdiction, including FMCSA Administrator Robin Hutchison. And she was getting questions from members of the subcommittee, primarily Republicans, about some of the regulations that the agency is pursuing, including, like you said, an AEB mandate, which is required by Congress, a speed limit mandate, which they're using their own authority to pursue, and some other items as well. And I think overall, we were very pleased with the tone of the hearing, because particularly Republican members of the committee, who are currently in the majority, made it pretty clear that they have some concerns about the speed limiter mandate and FMCSA's proposal to move forward. And specifically, I think they have concerns about some of the items the agency isn't necessarily thinking about. And we heard yesterday, Robin Hutchison said, well, you know, we can't consider all of the potential impacts and consequences of a rulemaking unless it's within our jurisdiction. And as we all know, the speed limiter mandate has the potential to affect every aspect of trucking, every aspect of highway safety, mostly in a negative way, we believe. And unfortunately, the agency doesn't have the jurisdiction to consider things like what type of effect it will have on a driver's earnings. If you're slowing down the movement of all these trucks on the road and employee drivers are paid by the mile, you're going to restrict the number of miles they can drive each year, which is going to have some sort of downward pressure on their compensation. And I think a lot of these issues are being overlooked by the agency under this cover of, well, we don't have jurisdiction to consider it.
So obviously the FMCSA is using that guise of safety as kind of their main reason for this, right? They have this view of, okay, if we limit the speed that all trucks can go, slower speed means slower accident or slower accident impact rates, which means then more possibility of injury, less possibility of death. But that's not actually the case. And the something that isn't often considered with the speed limiter rule is the fact that it doesn't take into account how fast the other drivers on the road have to go now to avoid the trucks, right? It doesn't take into that into account, right? So when we're talking about the safety aspect, does it seem like the FMCSA is just zooming specifically in on the singular safety of the driver in a slower truck without necessarily thinking about the safety of those around them?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and this is what we've been arguing for years and years and years, because this is not a new rulemaking. This proposal was first introduced more than 10 years ago. It really gained steam in 2016. We've been saying this all along, that if you want to improve safety, you have to look at all the effects the speed limiter mandate will have on safety, not focus solely on the reduction of crash severity estimates that they have. And one thing they're ignoring, which we think is really scary, is the fact that you're creating these speed differentials between heavy trucks and cars. And we know from decades of highway research that you want to avoid that. You want to make sure everyone on the road is driving the same relative rate of speed, because that's when conditions are safest. When you start creating differentials between cars and trucks, guess what happens? They start interacting more. And when they're interacting more, it leads to an increase in crash rates. So we kind of look at this rulemaking and we say, FMCSA, we get it. You're supposed to be promoting safety in the motor carrier industry, but you can't focus solely on one area where you think you might be able to improve safety by reducing crash severity, by slowing down trucks, and ignoring all the other unintended consequences you're creating. And I think those unintended consequences are what's really resonating with members of Congress, because they're thinking about, well, we don't want speed differentials in our states, and this rulemaking has the potential to create speed differentials in 47 states across the country, some as much as 25 miles an hour. That's a really dangerous condition for highways. It's dangerous not only for the truckers who are making their living on the road, but all the passenger vehicles who are sharing the roads with those trucks. I mean, states like Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, where speeds are very high for passenger vehicles, slowing a truck down to as low as 60 is going to create a lot of serious problems. And one of the things we've been focusing in on is what type of crashes are expected to increase. And FMCSA says, you know, we can reduce crash severity, we'll reduce fatalities, we'll reduce serious injury. But when you're not taking into consideration what types of crashes you're going to increase, you have no idea that it'll be a benefit for the country as far as fatalities and serious injuries are concerned, because we believe, and our members tell us this, you're going to see an increase in passenger vehicles rear-ending trucks, which are some of the most hazardous types of crashes for people in those passenger vehicles. So the agency hasn't thought through this at all. I mean, they've just focused solely on crash severity. And they're ignoring a whole litany of unintended consequences that we've been raising red flags about for years.
So, Colin, I'm really glad that you bring up the Oklahoma and Texas state name, because I'm someone who went to school in Oklahoma. My parents live in North Texas. Lots of kids do that, right? That seems to have that cross border between Oklahoma and Texas all the time, that drive. The speed limit in Oklahoma on the interstate is 70 for both passenger vehicles and for trucks. You cross into Texas at the state line, that bumps to 75 for trucks to 80 for passenger vehicles. And at that differential point between, I'd say maybe like 15, 20 miles across the border there, you consistently have very many number of accidents. You consistently have slowdowns as well, not just from the accidents, but from your passenger vehicles and from your trucks trying to adjust to those speed differentials and figure out where they belong on the road in relation to each other, right? When we're talking about now these changes state by state, that would not be the case with a speed limiter rule, right? It would be consistent across the board with those 47 that you mentioned?
Well, it would not be consistent across the board, because states, I mean, have the authority to determine what speeds are maximums within their borders. And they have done so. Frankly, most have started to turn away from differentials and trying to harmonize speeds. But that has led to kind of, here in the East Coast, smaller states tend to have lower speeds. But out west, where things get flat and there's less traffic, those speeds are really high. But when you're starting to create speed differentials in 47 states, even if it's only 5 to 10 miles an hour, you're moving things in the wrong direction. I mean, we know that. Research has indicated that since they started studying speed differentials decades ago. There's been this consistent message of harmonize speeds, move away from differentials to improve highway safety. And like I said, a lot of states have done that already. When Congress gave states authority to set their own speeds back in the 90s, we saw speed differentials introduced between cars and trucks because folks thought, well, that's an easy way to improve safety. And over time, they've realized that's actually the opposite. You want to make sure folks are moving at the same relative rate of speed. So when a federal agency comes in and says, we're going to promote safety by creating speed differentials all across the country, we're naturally going to oppose it. It's bad for our members in a number of ways, but most importantly, it's bad for their safety because we think they're more likely to be involved in crashes.
Understandably, physics makes a return. Got about a minute left here. Looking ahead, strategy. FMCSA has punted a few rulemaking decisions until 2024. Is right now the time where if you're looking to see if anything's changing, are we running out the clock? Are we waiting for a new administration? Or do you think there's a real risk or a likelihood of something being done in the interim being attached to like a spending bill?
That's a difficult question. I think we're kind of getting to the point where it's difficult to get anything done in Washington because the election is looming so large. That goes for administration rulemakings as well. I mean, that's primarily about legislation. There's a lot of legislation we want to see get done. We're kind of feeling the urgency to get that stuff moving because we're running out of time. But I think the same type of general rules apply to the administration as well. If they want to get something done, they need to start doing it pretty quickly. And keep in mind, they wanted to have a speed limiter mandate out by now. That got gummed up because so many truckers were submitting public comments opposed to it, and they had to review them. So bravo, truckers, you slowed that down. But they continue to move forward. They say they're gonna roll it out at some point, and we'll have to be prepared to oppose it when it gets to that point.
It'll be an interesting case to see if those elected representatives listen to their constituents or not on this one. Colin, thank you for joining us this morning. Great to have you as always.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be back with our next carrier update right after this.